We're learning the Maamar from Rav Sasson on the Tchunas of the Midah of Tzadik, which is an introduction to the Torah, the world of Yisod, which we need to work on a lot, Rav Sasson, to understand the Pnimius and our Avoda. So we're talking about the Tchunas, these qualities of Yisod, Seder, Ipuk, holding back, Gvura, strength, Shalom, which is all connected. But all of these ingredients in this soup that's called the Yisod, these are the ingredients. These are the Tchunas HaNefesh of the Tzadik, and Amach Kulam Tzadik, meaning our Tchunas HaNefesh, that we're trying to work on. But none of these can actually make a person into a Yosef HaTzadik unless he has that fire of a tzimaon for Elokus, a longing for God. There are many, many people in the world who have these wonderful qualities. Jews and Lahavdil non-Jews as well, that have these qualities. Anshe Seder, people of Seder. What the Germans, Yimach Shemam, were not Mesudarim. They were very Mesudarim. And a certain strength of character. There are Tchunas. These Tchunas are not so uncommon. Thank you so much, Oscar. But all of this doesn't work. I cannot make a person into the tzaddik that he wants to be, that she wants to be, without the tzimaon lalokus. And that's where we were up to. Let's just review for a second Rav Kook's beautiful words. We read them 2 weeks ago. Let's just chaz them over and go back into the sugya. Hatzidkus hayisodis shel tzadik yisod olam hi hatviya haelokis hatadira shebirucham. Hatviya haelokis, a demand for elokus, for godliness. Hatadira, which is constant, birucham, in his ruach. Lios koshur, every word that Rav Kook writes over here, every single word, is the midah of yisod. He doesn't say the word, even though he says Hatzidkus Hayesodis. He does say actually Yesod. Hatzidkus Hayesodit, Hayesodis. He says, requires that there be this Tviya of Elokus, Lios Koshu, Hiskashus. The Midah of Tzadik is Hiskashus. Seder requires Hiskashus, Shalom requires Hiskashus, Gvur requires Hiskashus. And what brings all of these things together in one keshe that makes that person to a tzaddik is lios kosher b'kol cheftzo, for the person to be kosher, to be bound with all of his longings, sichlo, his seichel, ritzono, his will, hagishoso. You see what he's talking about? Chefetz, he's talking about keser, right? Sichlo, he's talking about Chochma Bina. Just to see how Rav Kook writes. Sichlo is talking about Chabad, Chochma Bina of Daz. Right? And then he says, Vitzainai, which is to be Makasha to the Midas, which is Daz. Vahagishosa, which is talking about Chesed Gvur Tiferes Netzach HaYisrael. That's how he writes. He just puts in these words, but it's all the spheres. He's talking about the spheres. Letzur Kol Ha'olam. Letzur to the creator of all worlds. Mekor chayi kol achayim v'havayis kol havayis, source of all life and all that exists. This is where we're up to. And therefore, the tzaddik has to go through many, many nisyonos. These are the parashiyos of Yosef HaTzaddik. That the tzaddik has to go through many nisyonos in order to give him that opportunity to realize, to find within himself that the kesher that he has to HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't just something which is a shallow passing thing, but it's something which is deep, it's something which is real. And I mentioned yesterday, the Rabbi Arulist Rishalia, I mentioned yesterday morning, that this Torah that the tzaddik that he has here, it's a whole long Torah, it's a Kabbalah thing. But the Nakuda that I mentioned yesterday morning was that it's interesting how Yosef HaTzadik, when he was in, I'm just going to remind a lot of the chevra here yesterday, so you remember, that Yosef HaTzadik, when he was with his father and with the Shvatim, and he was in yeshiva, and everything was good, so he was able, in that mitzias that was beautiful, he was able to dream of Malchus. He had the dreams. But they were only dreams. And as nice and as beautiful as dreams are, sof kol sof, it's not mitzias. It's a dream. It was only when Yosef HaTzadik had gone through his galus of being sold as a slave and the struggle that he had in the house of Potiphar, and he was able to overcome that, and then he ended up 12 years being imprisoned. And only after all of that did he actually become a melech in Mitzrayim. So what Arula points out is fascinating, that the malchus of the tzaddik was a malchus that was only a dream in Eretz Yisrael. But it became the metzias of his life, davka in Mitzrayim, davka in Egypt. So he writes here, let me read to you just a few of the words. It's so sweet, I didn't want to go weiter without sharing with you a few of the words. Because this is mamash the sugi that we're learning. V'yisrael ohav es Yosef mikol bonav. Yaakovino loved Yosef HaTzadik more than all of his children. Even though, of course, the greatest pain that he had, the greatest longing and the tzaris that he had was with Yosef HaTzadik. V'yisrael ohav es Yosef mikol bonav. V'om Rabbi Sanyi Zechon Levorach, Chazal say, Shoye ziv kunish loy doymel l'sho Yaakov. They also were, they looked alike. Yaakov and Yosef looked alike. So Rabbi Arula says that they looked alike. It's not just the Indian of how their face looked. Ela told us Yaakov Yosef, it's because Shehen Mikav Echad Mikav Ahimtsoi Kav Ahiskashus. Remember, Yaakov is the meat of Teferis, right? Chesed, Avram Avinu, Gvur is Yitzhak Avinu. Teferis in the center, which binds together, brings together Chesed and Gvur, Avram and Yitzhak, that fixture that holds them together is Teferis, that's the Midah of Yaakov. Therefore Yaakov is called Menakotze L'Kotze, by the Mishkan that held everything together is the Midah of Yaakov Avinu, which is Teferis. So Yaakov means the root of connectedness, of his kashrus, of his kashrus. Yosef HaTzadik is the midah of Yesod. So now we have after Teferis, we have Netzach again on the right, Hod on the left, right? And then we have Yesod, bringing everything together and leading into the pile of Malchus. So Yosef HaTzadik is the continuation and the ishtalmus of the midah of Yaakov, which is his kashrus, to hold everything together. Kesher, his kashrus. That's what we're going to learn a lot about, how the midah of Yesod is the ability to communicate with people, to have a relationship with people, to connect. Husband and wife, a father and children. The midah of Yesod is of you saw this hiskashus. On the highest level, it means this tzimon for Elokus, the tzimon, the kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have a kesher, a deep, deep connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says this again. This Rabbarus Strashelia. He says that I told you. Yes, it was the Baal Tanya's biggest. It was the biggest Talmud of the Alter Rebbe. So are all harchavis of what the Alter Rebbe taught. So he says, "L'chein machmas shemadregas Yosef hayemoid na'ale mebchinas madregas echov." The madrega of Yosef was higher than the madregas of his brothers. Lachain sipro chalamaisav him gam kain shayim ramaz and alalias madregas and sheikaris v'amelucha shal mitzrayim. Therefore, his dreams were dreams of a melucha that would be only realized in Mitzrayim. Rak machmas sheikar gemar b'chinasav avodas ahayi b'mitzrayim davke. But when would Yosef HaTzadik come to this great hiskashus? When would the hiskashus of Yosef HaTzadik to Hashem? When would that hiskashus become fully realized? He says, "Hayib Mitzrayim, Davka Acher HaNisayin Shalom, Davka after the Nisayin with the wife of Potiphar." Lachen Roes Bechinas Madregas Hanala Shalarak Bechinas Cholam. Therefore, until he went through that Nisayin with the wife of Potiphar, everything was just a dream. His Melucha, his Malchus, was a dream. It wasn't real. It was a dream. As I mentioned yesterday, it's like the nice yeshiva bacher, that he has a dream of being a tzaddik, but it's not yet in Metzias. It's not a Melucha in Metzias. A little bit gilui b'hakitz, Barula says, it wasn't when he was awake. He just had these dreams when he was sleeping, Yosef. And that's when he was nice to saw. He only had dreams of greatness. Because the melucha of Yosef HaTzadik was behelem, was in a state of potential. It was in a state of potential. Ad boyer l'mitzrayim, till he came to Mitzrayim. It was only a cholam. So the Rebbe says then, "Ulahavin zayis mitnei ma gili machlus ha'hedav kibim mitzrayim v'lo v'aretz k'nan." So why is that? Why is it that the gilui of his machlus was davkin, the most disgusting place in the world, in Mitzrayim, not in Eretz Yisrael? I'm just saying now more what I spoke about yesterday. Why is it davkin Mitzrayim? Because the tachlis hamakuvin of Hashem, why He put us into this disgusting world of Mitzrayim that we live in, is davke, ikka tachlis hamakuvin u davke la kafi le sitraach, is to overcome the sitraach, is to fight against the sitraach, is to fight against the other side. Ula hafcha chashuch la nahar davka, and to transform the darkness into light. That's our tachlis in this world, is to transform darkness into light. K'moshel ben melech, and he gives a moshel of a prince, ashnezgal da bapatlo in shomelech, who was raised in the palace of the king, u betanugim b'kisuf mimsarim, and he was with all kinds of the tanugim, with all the ministers and the noblemen. Eina nikhis kashvus amiti b'shleimus. When the prince was living in the palace, Eino nikar heskashus amiti b'shleimus shoben melech l'aviv ha-melech. We don't know yet in the palace whether or not this heskashus of the prince to the king, to his father, is amistic. We don't know that. We don't know if it's true. We don't know. Ki ein chiddush meheskashus l'aviv, because while he's growing up in the palace, there's no chiddush. He's Makusha to his father when he's in the palace. When Yosef was in yeshiva, when he was in Eretz Yisrael, there's no chiddush that there was a hiskashus to his father. Ki ein ro'a dov ha'acher mi balade gedulas ha'malach v'yirasa. Because as long as he's in the palace, he didn't see anything other than that. All he saw was his father. And everything in the palace was his father. Everywhere he went, everything he saw was all his father. It's only when the prince was sent out far away from the palace and the villages, ayaros and cities, medinas p'chuse ha'erach, to places that are p'chuse ha'erach, low places, disgusting places. B'kasha b'sham yachzik heiskashus la'aviv, and from those disgusting places, far away from the palace, yachzik heiskashus la'aviv, he'll hold on and be makusha to his father. He won't let go of his father. He'll hold on. This is where we are right now. At the end of time, he'll hold on. Kasher b'sham yachzik his kashrus la'aviv, zehu nikra shleimus amiti. That's called shleimus amiti. That's an emes kasher. That's a tzimaon la'elokus. That's a longing for God. Not when you're drowning in elokus and you're in that place. Hashem didn't have to send down the neshamas into this world when our neshamas were together with him. The only thing that was missing when the neshamas were together with him was a tzima'on, a thirst and a longing. Because when you're there, there's no thirst, there's no longing. You're in it. True hiskashus comes from wanting and from longing. This, we've spoken about this so many times over the years. That's where tzima'on comes from. This is the end of our generation. Even though the king misses his son, because the son is far away from him. But the king receives letters. The king hears from his son. And the king feels his kashrus and that, of that longing. Kein kiv yochel b'b'chines eretz k'nan, ashehira mezes l'b'chines malchus datzilis k'yadu b'mokam acher. Eretz Yisrael is malchus datzilis. Eretz Yisrael is being in the palace of the king. That's being in the palace of the king. And as long as Yosef was in Eretz Yisrael, in the king's palace, the shleimus of that kesher, of that hiskashus, wasn't revealed. Achnes galga b'mitzrayim lebchinas meitzarim, until Yosef HaTzadik ended up in Mitzrayim, which is a place of meitzarim, mokam tuma davka. Welcome to Madavka. It's something that we start the shiur in a week or two on the Lamentas Malachas. I'm glad to understand why the Rabbi Yishlam make such a world that we have to be in the Lamentas Malachas, the Lamentas Klolos of this world. And we see that there are so many Jews that they're trying to avoid that, either by marrying somebody that's rich, or getting rich very fast, somehow, or by signing up for a program where you don't have to work, other people are paying for you. Not to go out into Mitzrayim, to avoid Mitzrayim at all costs, not to be in Mitzrayim. Hashem has ways of, even if a person is trying his hardest to avoid Mitzrayim, Hashem has ways of sending a person down to Mitzrayim. And Hashem does that. He says, Until he came to Mitzrayim, Yosef HaTzadik could only dream of being a tzadik. But he wasn't yet a tzadik. He was only dreaming, had a dream of being a tzadik. It's only when he was in Mitzrayim he became a tzadik. B'chines yesh u'gvul. Let me finish this. B'chines yesh u'gvul. Eretz Yisrael is a place of ayin, it's infinite. Malchus Datzilus. That's why a dream, it's something else, Eretz Yisrael. Of course, the tachlis is, with Mashiach, that we'll be able to live like this every second, to be able to be with Hashem and to be longing for Him every second. That's not for now, that's a whole big thing, what that means. To be together and still to be longing. But Hashem sent Yosef into Mitzrayim. B'chinas yesh u'gvul. Mitzrayim is a place of confinement, of prison. Yosef HaTzadik had to live through that. Ubisham davke yehan yisayin shal shmiras habris. Because what does bris mean? Bris means hiskashus. Bris means a kesher. We're going to see mitzvah in the lamtes shir, melachas shir, that Chazal say in the Ovis, the Rabbi Nosson, Alashna, bris melacha, when it comes to going to work. Going to work. It's called a bris. Also, it's called a bris. Because when you go to work, to remember there's a bris. What's the bris of melacha? There's a bris. Like the Alter Rebbe says, that a bris is davka made between two friends when they're going to be away from each other. They used to make a bris. They used to cut and make the blood together, and they make a bris. A bris is made when the two friends are going to be away from each other, and they make a covenant. They make a covenant. Like the bris ben abisarim, that the pieces are apart, you make a covenant that during the time that we're not going to see each other, we're not going to be able to see each other, we're going to remember the bris. The bris is engraved in the flesh. The bris means a covenant that when we don't see each other or we're not able to be together, that the hiskashus will be a hiskashus shel emes between us. Because when it's not a hiskashus shel emes, when it's not an emes a hiskashus, when you're away, so then you start thinking of other things. You have people that when they're at work and they don't see their wife, they have other thoughts. Hazashal. It's not a bris nisuin. Marriage is also called a bris nisuin. A bris. And a bris means a hiskashus. And the way to find out whether you're mekusha be'emes is davka when you're not together. Therefore, Yosef at tzaddik when he was growing up in yeshiva with Yankov Avinu in the palace. Then he wasn't Yosef at tzaddik. He was, could be tzaddik. Will be maybe a tzaddik. So now what everybody's trying to do now is to prevent the kids from going to Mitzrayim. What we're trying to do is to keep them out of Mitzrayim. And we believe that that's how we're going to preserve their being tzaddikim. They're not tzaddikim. They're just about mitzvah bocha. Like when you make a speech about a mitzvah bocha, oh, this Moishi, what a tzaddik is that? He's not, say he's a kid. He has nice meters. He's cute. He liked to pinch him. He davens nice, he learns nice, but it's kind of tzaddik. That's not called a tzaddik. All of us had bar mitzvahs. We look at each other honestly, you know. I mean, I look at you as tzaddikim, and maybe you look at me as a tzaddik. We look at each other because we love each other. But tzivishn uns, within ourselves, we know we're not tzaddikim, you know what I mean? We're not tzaddikim. We maybe had chalaimus of being tzaddikim. And we should still have strong dreams of being tzaddikim, and maybe we're bigger tzaddikim, but by the bar mitzvah is not a tzaddik. That's not called a tzaddik bar mitzvah. He didn't even go to his first sweet 16. He never met a girl, except maybe a cousin or something. So a tzaddik has chalaimus. They tell him in school, you'd be a tzaddik, you'd be a good boy, you daven, you learn, and you see on the wall there's a picture of the Sat Rebbe and the Lubavitcher Rebbe, there's a picture of the Stipler, and there's a picture of the Chofetz Chaim, and you'll be a good boy, you'll be like one of those tzaddikim. I'll see you're going to be like the Baba Sali. And he's just a bar mitzvah bacher. He's a bar mitzvah bacher. Mitzvah bacher didn't go to Mitzrayim, yeah? He never went to Mitzrayim. We'll find out. We'll see what's going to be with him. Whether there's a bris between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or there is a tzimon, whether somehow over those years of growing up, he developed a thirst and a longing for Elokus. And whether or not he was able to make a covenant during the course of the years in his life, during his 120 years, to make his kashas with a bunch of them you can't see with your eyes. When you're a little kid, you're living in the king's palace. You're living in the king's palace. And we try hard to keep them in the palace. It's nice. And you have, and they've convinced hundreds of thousands of healthy young men that if they leave the, in Eretz Yisrael especially, that if you leave the palace, you're finished. If you leave yeshiva, you're done. On a deep level, it's only when Yosef Tzadik left yeshiva that his life began. Even though it was hard. And even though he missed his father, and he missed the yeshiva, and he missed being in Eretz Yisrael. He missed being in Eretz Yisrael. That's why I'm not so comfortable when I hear speeches from people about how they can't be Jews in Chutz La'aretz, they can only be Jews in Eretz Yisrael. It makes me uncomfortable. I have a deep love for Eretz Yisrael, and I want to go back as soon as I can, like all of us. But when I get that talk about how I can't really be the person I want to be, those talks make me very uncomfortable. You be whatever you want to be, wherever you are in the world. And this is where God put you right now, is to do the best you can. But don't say, I can only truly be a Jew. You know, we all know that the Shlemus of Am Yisrael is only in Eretz Yisrael. Of course that's true. But what you're going through right now in your life, you could do a lot better without being in Yerushalayim. You can still do better right now. You don't have to be in Yerushalayim. Yofa Adra Yossi Ketirza, says Asher Hashem. And Chazal say, Tirza means a place. It's a beautiful place. Yofa, you are beautiful, my beloved Ketirza. And Chazal say, Kesha'at Roitza, when you want to be. Chazal say, Kesha'at Roitza, when you want to be in Yerushalayim, you can be in Yerushalayim. Even if you're living in New York, you can be in Yerushalayim. You don't have to be in Yerushalayim to be in Yerushalayim. Even if you're in New York, you could be in Yerushalayim. Kishetirtz, if you want to be. Which means, Mr. Shem, we should all go back. Lamaisa. We should be there soon, very soon, all of us together in good health. But don't use your being away from the palace as an excuse not to be the tzaddik that you're supposed to become. It could be the davka you were sent away from the palace in order to become a tzaddik. Yes, if a tzaddik only dreamt of tzidkus when he was in Eretz Yisrael. There are a lot of people living in Eretz Yisrael right now, they're dreaming of being tzaddikim. They're not tzaddikim. They're not bigger tzaddikim than me and you. They live there, and they look out the window, they see the Harabayas. They're not bigger tzaddikim than me and you. No bigger tzaddikim. Lav davka. It's being away from the palace is the avoid of his kashas, of the prince that leaves the palace. And that's how the neshamas came to this world. The tachlis is not to remain forever, God forbid, away from the palace. No, the king will bring him back. And Hashem's going to bring us all back to his palace. But the avoida during that time away from the palace is the avoida of his kashas. Instead of teaching our children and raising them in terror and fear, that if they have to go to work one day, they're going to be lost to Yiddishkeit. They're never going to be able to stand up to that test of meeting, you know, a female someplace. And they're never going to be able to stand up to the test of having to work for a living. Instead of teaching them, we're not giving them any strength, and we're not getting them ready to be in the world. And we convince them that the only true kesher they could have with Hashem is when they're in yeshiva. It's not true. It's not true. In many ways, it's the other way, not like that. Yeshiva is gevaldik. Being in the king's palace is terrific. Being at all that's the tachlis. But to be mekusher to Hashem. That's why Hashem works it out for a person that even if he's sitting in the yeshiva for 30 years, Hashem gives him an opportunity to be in galus even while he's in his yeshiva. That's how it is. Because his kashrus can only be when you're away. His kashrus is the avoid of tzimon elokus. That's a bris, tzimon elokus. Therefore, there can be such a lashon of bris when it comes to malacha, to working. Not just Shabbos. Shabbos, of course, is a bris. Shabbos is bris. Shabbos is a bris. Shabbos is a bris. But to get to Shabbos, the Baruch Hashem says, Sheish Yisrael Tava. And Sheish Yisrael Tava means that you're a Mitzrayim. You're a Mitzrayim. I remember there was a guy that was telling me a long time ago that he only wanted to work in a frum office because he had been working in places that were not nice. You know, and he wanted it. So he finally got a job in an office that was run by frum people. And he was telling me, Davka there, he fell in with a girl over there. There was a frum girl, a frum girl in the office. He said, he went mishigah with his girl. He said, my mazel. I said, mazel? I remember him telling me, my mazel. The girl of my dreams ended up in this office in Borough Park. When I was in Manhattan, I was able to be And then I end up in Borough Park. No, no. My mazel. He said, a mazel? A mazel. He said, the Baruch Shalom has his ways of bringing the sionis upon a person. Because whatever conditions you try to set up in your life, that it should be just perfect. That I don't have to have any tzimon, I don't have to have any longing or thirst for anything. Because everything is set up for me. The Baruch Shalom has ways of putting you in gullahs. And you can live in the old city of Yerushalayim, and he has ways of bringing the girl of your dreams right past your door, in the old city of Yerushalayim, in 100 feet away from the Kaisel, you could have nisyanis, big nisyanis. Besides, there's plenty of chevra walking around the old city of Yerushalayim that create nisyanis. That's not where the midah of tzaddik comes from. The midah of tzaddik, he says, "B'sham davki ya nisayin shal shmiris habris." B'sham davki ya nisayin shal shmiris habris. Are you a person that has a tzimon for elokus? Are you somebody that you're trying to make a kesher with Hashem's book? A kesher. A kesher is only a real kesher when there are challenges to that kesher. When there's no challenge to the kesher, we don't know if it's a kesher amiti. We don't know if it's a kesher amiti. If it's a real kesher. B'zei says nezgala b'chinas malchusoy begoli mamish. And dafka there in Mitzrayim, the malchus of Yosef HaTzadik became malchus begoli mamish. That's where he became tzadik yisad olam. Ach be'eretz Kanan, af agav di'iu lo'ichazi, maz lo'ichazi, bo inyin b'roiv chaloyim es v'loi b'gili mamish. In Eretz Yisrael, the inyin of Melucha by Yosef was b'roiv chaloyim es. He had a lot of nice dreams in Eretz Yisrael. He had a lot of nice dreams in Eretz Yisrael. Barak b'remiza. But well, they were only remozim of what he could be. But to become the person that he would become, and he could become, it was Davke Mitzrayim. Because that's the need of his kashas. It's the meat of his kashas. It requires a tzimon elokos. And a tzimon is something when it's hard for you, when it's not there. When you have something all the time, there's no tzoma nafshi. There's no tzimon. Tzimon is when something is hard for you, when you have to fight for it. That's the meaning of Yosef HaTzadik. That's the meaning of his kashas. And therefore, our generation Davke, before Malchus Mashiach is revealed, our generation Davke has the biggest nisyanis. Because every one of us, we might not be tzaddikim, but every single one of us, if we're still from in Tavshin Pe'alf, it's because we have a tzimon for Lukas. It's because we have a longing for Hashem. We might not feel it emotionally, but it's because we do. Otherwise, we would have let go of this kesher and be flying off into the world like everybody else is going crazy. You and I all have a tzimon for Elokus. We have such a tzimon. What would take a person on a freezing cold day? You can't walk every year, slipping every place. What would to go away from a cozy, nice, to go away from home, unless chasron, you're not happy in your house. By the way, I'm assuming you're all happy at home. What would cause you to leave your house and to come to sit and to... There's a tzimon elokus. There's never been such a tzimon elokus like now. There's never been such a tzimon elokus. There's an unbelievable tzimon elokus to have a kesher HaKadosh Baruch Hu davke when we're furthest away. There's such a powerful tzimon elokus. And that's the midah of tzaddik yisod olam. So in that way, maybe we're not tzaddikim. We have a lot to go as far as putting everything together. But this nekuda of a tzimon l'lakus is the essence of the tzaddik. That's the essence of the tzaddik. That's what he's explaining over here. What is it though?
Rabbi, I think the Mel Zichron of Lebracha says a similar thing with Yaakov Avinu, that in one parsha he's only dreaming of Malachim, and then only after living with Laban is he able to actually see Malachim and interact with the Malachim.
Very good. Same idea. Very good. So he says, look, let's read this paragraph again. Reish is called... On the top of page Yuzayin, right after Rav Kook's words, Reish is called Otzmas Atzimon Hashem Yikoch Adir Shabadim Shemeno Bo Hagvur VaYichaylus Lishloit Halatuchofim Shabenefesh Uanavtam Nechayna. What gives the person the ability to turn away from the wife of Potiphar? When Eishes Potiphar is coming after you, at the end of the day, however that Eishes Potiphar, whether it's alive or it's on a machine, when Eishes Potiphar is after you, he says the ability to be shaylight. That's what I was talking about yesterday morning. I know it's a long time ago, but I'll just remind you that Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef HaTzadik is that he was always a king. Remember, I was talking about that yesterday. He was always a melech. How did he become all of a sudden a melech when he left? How did that happen? Did he become a melech? The guys with all the lowest people on earth in jail, in the bar, in the most disgusting place, the most disgusting people. And the next thing you know, he's like a ruler over the whole world. How did that happen? How do you make such a fast transition? Generally, the way that it is in the world is that when you have low, disgusting people, you become affected by that. How did it happen? So the Torah says that we see that the Inyan of Yosef is that he was shoylet. He was in control of himself. That's how he got away from Potiphar's wife. And that's how he lived while he was in that place. He was a shoylet al atzmai. He was a king. Not over Egyptians. He was a king over himself. He was a king over himself. That was his melucha. That was his malchus. That melucha that a person has to be shoylet, to be in control of himself, he explains, kacha yecholus lismoided al pagam habris, yitzvah d'arayis. We learned this lesson, I'm just reviewing. The most powerful taiva against the king is the yitzhar of arayis, of this inyan of the bris. Shut taiva chazok emoid benefesh. So how does a person overcome that taiva? The only way he could overcome that taiva, at the end of the day, he's a person that has seder, he has shalom, he's all this stuff. But at the end of the day, the only way is that there's something in life that's more important to him, that he longs for more than that taiva. If there's something that he wants more than that taiva. That's the key to our kids. How do we help them want Kedusha more than the pictures on the phone? That's the question. Of course, how do you know that's the question? Because no one's talking about that. That's always the sign that that's the question. No one's talking about that at all. No one's talking about that at all. But that's the issue. That's the issue. If a person wants more than anything to have a hiskashus to the truth and to Kedusha and to Hashem, then those things that are being offered on the internet are so silly, are so disgusting, are so not the subject of his concerns or his interests. Not because he has to fight a milchama against it. Not because he has to have a million filters against it. It's because it's a goel nefesh. It's a goel nefesh. It's not a milchama anymore. It's not a milchama. It's not a war. He doesn't want that. Because what he wants fills his entire mitzvahs. It fills his entire consciousness, what he wants. And therefore anything that is in opposition to what he wants is michutz, is outside. So how do we develop within ourselves, how do we develop within our children? This Simon, he says, Neisha Yesh Bitzocha Nefesh, Koach She Yoser Chazak Mimenu. How do we give them something, a taste of that, which is stronger than that taiva? Which is stronger than that taiva? How do you do that? So in the earlier generations, it didn't require necessarily to learn with them things that strengthened them, a big Simon Elokos. It wasn't always necessary, but now it can't be without it. It can't be without it. Unless there's something that they're more excited about and they want more desperately, Because this inyan of Mitzrayim, of Gilei Arayis, is so strong now. This is what Hashem has put us into now. This is the test of our Iskashas, of the bris that we have with Him. The inyan of Shmiras HaBris, to guard this covenant that we have, this kesher that we have with Hashem. It comes down to the question of what do you want more? What do you want more? That's the question. Every time a person is sitting by the phone or the computer, and he's getting that chalila, that pull to do something, to look at something that's not right, it's always a question of what do you want more? What do you want more? So what they're talking about is how do you get that away from the person? Take it away from the person. He really doesn't care. He really doesn't care about davening. He's just dreaming about his next trip to Dubai, you know. We're now going to have Jewish lecturers in Dubai. You could have a whole tour. Did anyone even know what there is to see in Dubai? Do they have Kivrei Tzaddikim there? I'm sure they'll think of some new Tzaddikim over there to have buried. And then soon you're going to have people going and crying and putting kvitlich by some kever in Dubai. Just for $50,000. But they'll put a kvitl there. And they'll have some baba that will go with them, and they'll make some tefillahs by some kivrei tzaddikim who are buried in Dubai. The only tzaddikim who are buried in Dubai are the idiots that are spending money to go there. Those are the ones who are getting buried in Dubai. It's unbelievable to me. It's a taiva to go to such a place. A taiva. And all they're able to advertise is what? There's nothing there. There's no history. There's no tzaddikim buried over there. I didn't hear anything. I asked a couple of Sfarim, do you know anything? They said, they don't want to hear that. So then why are you going there? What are you going there for? Because there, a typus I wasn't able yet to satisfy in all the other places I went to. Did you see the picture of that palace? Did you see the picture of that steak? Shaita, it's the same caterer over here that's going to go over there. He's laughing because you're paying all the money for him to plop the same piece of meat on your plate in Dubai. And now you can go back and tell everybody, I was in Dubai for 10 days. We took a trip. I went on ATV in the desert. But this wasn't a desert. This is not in Eilat. I was in a desert of people who are Sunni Israel. I was lucky to be in a desert I was lucky to be driving an ATV in a place where there are a couple million people who are laughing at me. Because all the Jews are running to spend money over here. They're laughing at us. All the Sunni Israel, that if in one second they would put knives in our backs, in one second, and all the Jews are tripping over each other to go give them money. It's unbelievable to me. Is there anybody that agrees with me? Or am I the only person that feels this way? I don't know. I know now I got you nervous because some of you are planning to go to Dubai. I know that. I know that. It's okay. Whenever those things happen, I'm always able to deal with it, and I love you anyway. But think about it. Think about the pictures that they're showing. Because there's one friend of mine, he's a tzaddik, and he has to go because he's a rebbe, and he has to be part of some kind of a tour because he's hired by that meister. He has to go on some tour to Dubai. And he sent me the itinerary. I got this last night. That's why I'm so upset about it. So he sent me the itinerary. It's more than a week over there of complete indulgence and fressing on tibus of this world. Because at least when you take it, when you go, you go to Poland, you know, it's a miserable place, right? So even though they tell you we found a 5-star hotel in Lublin, all right, look. But the place itself is a Gehenna. The whole place is a Gehenna. And if you're going there, you're going there because you want to say Kapitel Tilim by Rav Meir Shapir or by the Chayezer, right? I mean, it's a Gehenna. The whole place is a Gehenna. How they built their 5-star hotel in the middle of Gehenna. Okay, no, but it's a Gehenna. But here they can't even make believe it's a Gehenna. Here they're saying to you, all the tithes of this world served up to you by subservient Yishmaelim who suddenly love you. Yeah, it is, because Bibi shook hands with the guy over there. So now everybody there in Dubai, they all love the Jews. They all love the Jews. And I'm sure they're all running now to Tel Aviv and spending money in Yerushalayim and Tel Aviv. Millions of them are coming now spending money in this. You can't get a hotel room now in Yerushalayim because of all, I don't know how you call people from the Emiratis, I don't know what they are. Now you can't get a room in Yerushalayim because all the Arabs are coming to Yerushalayim to spend money by us. And you can't walk in Gula Meisham because the Sfarim stores are filled with them. They're buying all the Sfarim. You can't find a spot. Only Jews are doing this. Indulging and fresh. Find a new way. It's going to be Pesach in Dubai. To find a new way to spend money, and they show pictures of all the fancy buildings in Dubai. You don't have enough. You can go to Manhattan. Go to Dubai to see a tall building that has shiny windows. And if you look in the windows with your binoculars, you'll see. You know what you're going to see? You're going to see in the building 10,000 Yishmaelim laughing at the Jews walking around with their binoculars. 10,000 Yishmaelim looking at the Jews with their binoculars, laughing at them. You smell them laughing at the Jews. They came here to spend Jewish money by us. Because he made all of a sudden we love the Jews. Why do they love the Jews? They love the Jews to get the money. Because they're afraid of the Iranians, and they think that if something happens with Iran, that the Israelis are gonna blow up the Iranians. That's the whole piece. It's better than not having it, I'm asking. But it's a good thing to have. But now the Jews are running to Dubai. Anybody agree? You disagree? Is what I'm saying? You disagree? Tell me if you disagree. Be honest.
Only Manhattan has border up.
So what?
Manhattan will border up.
Oh, so maybe because people go to Dubai because they can't go to Manhattan anymore. Because everything in Manhattan is closed. So they want to go to Dubai. They're taking Jewish tours in Dubai. I already see they have some of the big speakers are going. Some of the famous, you know, world lecturers, speakers. The Pesach people. They're going now to Dubai. They're going to go now to Dubai. What are they going to talk about for 11 days? What's there to talk about in Dubai? Over here we have a building. And these are rich Arabs in this building. And now we're going to talk about why, you know, how a Jew should use his wealth in a constructive way. Which is to pay $50,000 for me to come to give you lectures in Dubai. It's the whole thing. Sheker v'chazifna, alma d'shikr. Ahmed Shikr, the whole thing. And people go for it. People go for it. Chachmanis. I don't know what brought me there. But somehow I suspect I was going to get there. All right, we'll continue for some time.